Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I greet you today in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I'm so glad that you were able to join me today. We're heard on the station every day at the same time, Monday through Friday. Praise God. And today I'd like to bring the message I've been sharing all week, Walking in Truth, to a conclusion. And another title I could give to it is Avoiding Self-Deception. Man that is in honor and understandeth not, Psalm 49 says, is like the beasts that perish. Self-delusion is a characteristic of the wicked, not just the unsaved and ungodly, but it's possible to have an evil heart of unbelief. It's possible to depart from the living God. It's possible, having known Jesus, having walked in His mercy and grace, to turn aside into our own way, to become so caught up with burdens and cares and the riches of and troubles of this life that the good seed is choked off. We walk in self-deception. And as I shared, the most frightening thing about self-deception is you don't know you're deceived. Because what? You're deceived, all right? Except the Word will give us understanding and clarity. That's why David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting." And so we've been looking, as I went into the Word of God, to find out areas of self-deception. One was the attitudes toward our self, which involve ego, the area of inordinate self-esteem in terms of our spiritual condition, conceit, which is an excessive appreciation of one's own worth or virtue, which can be very dangerous, sanctimony, which is hypocrisy, thinking that, you know, we're highly spiritual when our actions are quite different. And then sometimes prosperity, just because we're blessed a great deal, while we think, oh, well, we're fine, we're being blessed of God. That does not, while it's a sign, material blessings, prosperity, that is a blessing of God, but just because we have them doesn't mean that we are spiritually prosperous. We have to make sure, I mean, there's something about prosperity that turns our heart away from God. That's why God warned the children of Israel, when you're full and satisfied and you've inherited the land that I've given you, remember that you don't forget the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth. Amen. And that's true under both covenants. So material prosperity can be a source of self-deception. And then yesterday we were looking at deceptions of the heart, which is a result of ignorance or misunderstanding of God's Word. We can become self-deceived if we are just hearers of the Word and not doers. That's James 1 and 22. If we don't bridle our tongue, James 1, 26. The Word, James said, if we don't bridle our tongue, we deceive our own heart and our religion is in vain. And then spiritual bondage, we can be related to, that's related to idols of our heart. We can be so enamored, so caught up with things that our relationship with the Lord suffers. That can be relationships, that could be our work, that could be the work of the Lord even. That's possible, that the work of God becomes more important than our relationship with God. Anything can become an idol if it has preeminence over our relationship with God, if it consumes our time and energy, whereas the Lord, He's jealous for that place. And when we accepted Jesus, that was the most powerful day of our lives, because we had to admit we were wrong. We were a sinner. And beloved, that's a trait. To walk in continued repentance is something that we should do all of our lives. Somehow after the new birth, sometimes some people are almost incapable of admitting error, and the longer they walk with the Lord sometimes. But beloved, it's what the fruits of righteousness, you know how John condemn the Pharisees because, you know, they said, well, we've got Abraham for our father. Well, he said, God can raise stones up out of these stones. He can raise up sons to Abraham. So let us not. There are many warnings in the word. Going to the New Testament, Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 11 through 12, which is the parable of the foolish and the wise virgins. Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. And so there's a real danger that we could be shut out as a virgin is someone who is betrothed and in the to the Lord. They're in the wedding party, but unless their actions and words and thoughts are acceptable to the Lord, they're foolish, they're in self-deception. Obstinate sinners are often given up to self-delusion. Psalm 81 and 11 says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts, into their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Beloved, there are many Christians today walking in their own counsels. I see it today. I see it where I'm ministering. I have seen it over the years that there are people in self-delusion because they're walking in their own counsel. Beloved, we need to walk in the Lord's counsel. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 and 11 says, speaking of the mystery of iniquity at work, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, beloved, having left these scriptures of warning, let's look at the positive words of the word of truth. Did you know that truth is part of the Christian's armor? Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The loins consist of the lower region of the back, the seat of strength, and it's the body between the ribs and the hip bones where the girdle was worn and the sword was worn. So our belt, if you will, girding the loins with sackcloth was a sign of mourning. Pain and terror were reflected in weakness and shaking of the loins. So you see, beloved, we have been given by God. Part of our armor is the belt of truth, but we have to put it on. We need to have our loins girt with truth, signifying strength in attachment to the truth. Ephesians 6:14 and Isaiah 11:5, that speaks of Christ, the righteous branch, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And I love this beautiful scripture found in Ephesians 5:9. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Praise God. For why, beloved, the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. John 14 and 17 says that he dwells with us and shall be in us. One of his tasks is to guide us into all truth. John 16 and 13 says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall shew you things to come. Did you know also God's truth is a shield and buckler? It's, you know, we talk about the shield of faith. Well, that shield of faith is the truth of God's word. Psalm 91 and 4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Beloved, we should pray for the truth of God to be manifested to ourselves. As Solomon prayed in 2 Chronicles 6:17, now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word, thy truth, be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. And we should also pray for the truth of God to be exhibited to others. Isn't that truth? Amen. So we're not in self-deception, and others will not fall into self-deception, but the word of God shall be our clear, sharp, two-edged sword to cut aside the lies, the shams, the shadows, the clouds, the things that would blind us, the things that would make our walk misty and murky. But no, the light of his presence will arise upon us with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. The last scripture I'd like to share is found in Philippians 4:8. We're told that whatsoever things are true and honest and just, we're to think or meditate upon these things. And the final scripture I will share is 1 Corinthians 13. 15 and 6, where as the people of God, and this is speaking of love, we are to rejoice not in iniquity, but to rejoice in the truth. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, this has been a heavy subject, walking in self-deception, but walking in the fear of the Lord, Lord, let me not be deceived. Let my heart not be deceived. Let me not have an exalted opinion of myself. Let me walk in humility. In fact, if you've been touched by the broadcast this week, if you've been pricked by the Word of God, let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, that you, Holy Spirit, will search our hearts, see if there be any wicked way in us. Deliver us from self-deception, from self-delusion, from hearing the word and not acting on it, from being careless and unbridled with our tongue, from having an exalted, an arrogant opinion of ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to walk in humility, which is the Spirit of Christ. He took himself upon the form of a servant. He made himself of no reputation. And Father, if Jesus, our Master, our Savior, did this, how much more should we consider ourselves as servants and children of you? And as we do that, you said we were your friends. So Father, touch us now. Deliver us from every false thought and false action and false deceiving thing that would hinder us in our walk with you. My beloved, even this day, the Spirit of Truth is ministering to you. And fret not. Walk only in the fear of the Lord, but be fearful of nothing else. For I shall lead you in a straight path. I shall take you, yea, to the high places in your God. And you shall rejoice, for my goodness and mercy and truth shall surround you, and I shall lead you to the very heights of Zion, lead you into a place in your God that you have long desired, that you have cried out to me for, and you shall see that it is I working within you, yea, to accomplish my good work, my complete work that I desire to do in your life. As you humble yourself before me, I will strip all unrighteousness, all deception, all lies that would affix themselves to you. I shall separate you to myself, and you shall be holy unto the Lord, says your God. Praise God. Amen. We receive that, Lord. Holy yours, as well as holy and sanctified for your use. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, it's been a joy to share the word of the Lord with you this week. And I pray that you'll be able to tune in next week at the same time, and we'll see what the Lord has to share with us on next week's broadcast. But for now, the announcer will give you our contact information. I close with my love, thanking you for your prayer support. And don't forget, your finances are what enabled me to keep on this station and carry on the ministries of UCM. God bless you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.